The Production Expert Podcast is brought to you with the kind support of Autoria, Source Elements, and RSPE Audio Solutions.
Welcome to the Production Expert Podcast. I'm Julian Rogers, and in this week's edition, I'm joined by Russ Hughes and Damien Kearns. We're going to be discussing all the developments October brought to the world of pro audio. It's been a busy month, so let's get straight to it. Russ Hughes spent the 80s as a synth programmer for many top artists. He went on to spend several decades writing and recording. He also did a stint running commercial post facilities in Soho, London. In 2008, he founded the Experts websites after seeing many audio professionals didn't have free access to high-quality content. The rest, they say, is history. Welcome, Russ.
Hello.
Damien Kearns specialises in post-production for television and movies, always looking to improve workflows and technology. Damien was, among other duties, CBC Toronto's de facto in-house Pro Tools trainer. He's a guy who knows his stuff, and we're happy to have him. Damien's recently come off editing and mixing a CNN TV series, History of the Sitcom, as well as other exciting TV programme called Encounter UFO. Welcome, Damien.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, all of that. Good evening to all our listeners elsewhere.
Welcome, Damien. So, October, lots to discuss. If you're a Mac user, the biggest news has to be the new chips. So, shall we start there? M1 Pro and M1 Max, we thought they were coming. They're now here. Well, what do we think? Damien?
Look, I'm excited about the M1 Max. They promise a lot more integration inside the Apple ecosystem. First of all, they're lightning fast, and the pros actually have more ports this time around than the last one, and they don't have that stupid, I'm talking about the laptops, they don't have that stupid bar at the top either. So they actually get my stamp as a hit for actually checking virtually every box I had, not ticked on the last one. In fact, I want to tell you, I bought the last iteration of the MacBook Pro and returned it after a week. So this one I would buy and keep.
Okay. Why did you ditch the last one?
Well, I went out and I realized very quickly, once you put the power in one of the things, you really got two receptacles or two...
Thunderbolt,
you're going to dongle hell because
Only got, once I put my power cable in, you only got two ports left, and then they wanted $450 for one of their port splitters, and I just thought, listen, if it's pro, shouldn't it have all the ports I need, or at least four usable ports?
Yeah.
And this new one has that. As a guy who does the odd time, have to mix or record in the field, ports are key for me. And these new laptops are exciting for that reason.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. So the ports thing, definitely in there. Russ, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I there should be one landing today while this has been recorded. In fact, I've put my wife on guard duty on the door that said, if you hear any sense of a doorbell, you are going to that door very quickly, because I'm not going to have one of these, oh, I came and you weren't in moments, which sometimes, I don't know if it's the same in Canada, but you can have delivery guys seem to kind of play like that. You know that game as kids, we used to knock people's doors and run off before they could get to it?
Yeah.
I think you
Nikki
have to
nine
train to be a delivery
it.
Driver by playing that game. And you only get the gig if you can do that really quickly. Anyway, so I've got one coming today. So the first thing you notice on these machines is how big they are in terms of how deep they are compared to the other machines. So Apple have kind of have decided that it does feel like Apple have listened, because they've decided to jettison the whole kind of thinness, small footprint, all that kind of thing. These are almost back to kind of like the 2012 machines. They're that thick. They're like a book instead of like a slither of paper now. As Damien quite rightly says, it's not only the Thunderbolt ports, it's also got a real HDMI port on there, which is great. It's got high impedance headphone output. There's some information coming about that as well. That's quite clever, that technology, with a real DAC inside it as well. So they've really done some work. I don't think when it was created, Damien, that stupid bar at the top was actually the name they called it. I think they called it the touch strip.
I don't think that was the internal name.
That probably was the internal thing. But anyway, they've removed that and given us back a proper keyboard. They've given us F buttons, all sorts of stuff like that. To be honest, that's the kind of outer shell of this situation. It's a bit like the beauties on the inside. If you've been reading some of the tests that have been going around in the last 2 weeks, one of the tests, AN Tech, said that the numbers coming off these machines were astonishing. They said it gave any desktop a run for its money, and actually to get comparable kind of power, you'd have to go to server class computers, which is insane in a laptop. So I think Apple have kind of ripped up all their own internal rules about size and all that kind of thing, but at the same time delivered on power and all those kind of things. So I'm excited for the one that's landing today, and I can't wait to do a review of it, do some more speed tests on it, and just, it's a new era. The M1 was kind of like, I felt was like the kind of amuse-bouche or the appetizer to this whole silicon gig, because the M1 really wasn't fit for showtime for a number of reasons. Plugins weren't ported, doors weren't ported, you couldn't run more than one monitor externally without doing a lot of messing around. So all that kind of messing around, as Damien said, you just want to return a product if it starts like that isn't pro. Whereas these ones are, we expected an M1X. What we got was an M1 Pro and an M1 Max. I think the Max, to be honest, is going to be really useful for video, because that's where it's going to really kick in. And the 16-inch also has this extra kind of power layer that you can turn on for like high processing tasks like rendering and stuff like that. So I really think that Apple have listened this time to the pro user, and I'm excited for what it's going to do. Just imagine what the pro machine's going to be like when that goes silicon.
No, that's, I know.
You're going to be able to launch rockets from it internally. It's going to be insane.
I know. Well, these new chips have kind of beaten everything else we've ever had by a country mile. My iMac Pro is now looking pretty third rate compared to what they've been offering this past year.
Is it wondering already which door it's going to hold open?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's probably Liza's story. I had a friend actually who had a Lexicon 480 holding open the door to his studio.
Oh, that seems then sacrilegious.
Then he put it in a skip.
Yeah,
that makes people cry when I tell him that. I can't even tell you who it is. So in terms of hit or miss, this is a hit for me. I think it's a really great new era. And the iLock news today was welcome as well, because iLock is the thing that's going to really unlock native support for things like Pro Tools and lots of the plugins that we depend on. So that's good news as well. It's a hit from me.
Damien, hit or miss?
Oh, to me, it's a total hit. I mean, you know, as always, my one thing about laptops is they lack the numeric keypad element of a keyboard, right? I have seen in the past where people have ingeniously figured out a way to just attach, a third-party numeric keypad to the side of a computer. What I would love to see is somebody come out with a hub based around that kind of thing, or at least break out the ports. So you could literally slot the thing in and maintain the ports.
Well, better than that, do what I do. I'm running mine I've been running one as a clamshell for 2 years, and it's got a wireless mouse and a wireless keyboard on it. And when I finished in the studio, I unplug 3 cables and walk away, and I've got my laptop back. So I get the best of both worlds.
It's an interesting point. I was thinking about the thing that impresses me about these, and the power's great, but power's very transitory. I mean, you know, new computer is faster than old one isn't really a headline. But the thing
for about 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and there's the architecture change, which obviously opens up, you know, but it's just means Moore's Law can come back again because it kind of stopped. But the thing that it's that internal conversation that's happened at Apple of, I mean, at some point, you know, I'd like to imagine someone said, you know what? I think most of these laptops don't actually just get carried around from coffee shop to coffee shop. They actually just spend most of the time in people's homes with things plugged into them. And maybe we should help those people. So, you know, that change of direction of like, it doesn't have to be as thin as a piece of paper. And
Well, what is Pro anyway? You know, does it allow professionals to do their jobs? Because if that is the standard by which you utilize the moniker, then you really do need breakout ports. You need to design a machine around the idea that different types of professionals will have different needs all at the same time from the same product. This one does that.
Yeah, I was about to say actually to that point, I think that sometimes the audio industry in particular can be incredibly narcissistic and very and take ownership of the word pro. But when Apple make a pro machine, it's aimed at medical professionals and architects and lawyers and all of that. So there's a lot of competing priorities for a pro machine. So when somebody says, "Hey, it's not pro because you can't put a card inside it," and you think, "Well, yeah, I think you've been a bit narcissistic there. You think pro is just about you and your industry." And when you remember that the fresh tomato industry turns over more money than the audio industry in the UK, you have to kind of, that kind of puts it in perspective.
Achoria has a wide selection of software effects, including 3 compressors, 3 filters, 3 preamps, and 3 delays you'll actually use. The latest release, 3 delays you'll actually use, includes Delay Tape 201, Delay Memory Brigade, and the unique and experimental Delay Eternity. A bundle of selected effects, called the AudioFuse Creative Suite, is included with all AudioFuse audio interfaces. Visit Achoria.com to find out more on the effects you'll actually use.
M1 Pro, M1 Max announcements, definite hit. No huge surprise there, but, you know, there we go. Moving on to the next item on our list, Pro Tools 2021.10. That dropped, yesterday. So, early days. So, I know, Damien, have you, presumably you've seen this, have you installed yet?
I have installed, gentlemen. And I want to say I upgraded from Mojave to Big Sur last night.
Ooh.
So this is the first kick at the can with 2110 and Big Sur.
You're bleeding edge here, aren't you, mate? You're really
totally
pushing it.
And it's the first time I've recorded anything, and it's only dropped out once. So far, so good, I guess.
So far on this recording, okay.
Yeah, on this recording, so far.
You'll probably sound like
working.
C-3PO when you play it back, but we'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a great voice to work with, let's be honest, but at least the fidelity seems to be there. I will say that just that upgrade, you know, from Mojave to Big Sur was probably the most frightening thing I've ever done in my life. But I wanted to get more on board with a more modern system. So now my iTunes library is completely screwed up. That's the only thing that I've lost, you know, all my artwork, sniff. Mm. Yeah. But, so far, so good.
Feature-wise?
I need to test out whether or not I can deal with multiple videos. That's in my line of work, that's my prime consideration. As long as the video aspect of it is working, I'm a happy camper. But everything else seems to be working just as well as 2021.7, so I'm happy.
Okay. Digging into that a little bit, on the release, the stuff that was probably a benefit to you is the flexible routing, and maybe that, I mean, there's the video clip light. Well, it's not called a clip light, video frame indicator.
Yeah.
Either of those things. What about the flexible routing? Have you had
the
a play
only
with
thing
that
I noticed, you know, I did a thing about preferences a while back for Pro Tools, or for, mm-hmm. you know, I did a thing a while back for Production Expert on preferences. So I tend to dump all my preferences when I upgrade update to a new version of Pro Tools. And so I go back and meticulously go through. And what I found were there were a couple of preferences related to fold downs, which I found interesting. You could actually designate how 7.1 folds down to 5.1, etc. And those are in the preferences. That's the first new thing I noticed, which probably didn't get any press, but that. Other than that, I have not delved into these other things yet. I don't tend to have a lot of issue with video playback, or I haven't. Those things are probably a non-starter for me, but I'll welcome any new features.
Okay. I mean, the fold down and fan out flexible routing, it's certainly got some press on Production Expert. We were talking about how that works, and it's that... You probably won't need to worry about instantiating down mixes, put it that way. You may find you have to eventually, but that's pretty much gone. There's an intelligence behind how Pro Tools manages changing channel widths along a bus or to an output or something like that.
It's already it's great. I think my thing my next thing is really, let's get Source Nexus, more integrated in the IO as well, things like that. Because I do tend to use a lot of internal busing in my Mac, and thanks to Source Nexus, it's doing that. So I would like to see them, basically the IO, show up as IO on channel strips, or at least the outputs.
So Russ, Pro Tools update 2021.10, thoughts?
What I feel about Pro Tools updates is that for some of the brands, let's say Presonus, for example, when they release an update, it feels like an album comes out. When Pro Tools changes come, they're very iterative. They feel very minor, and it's kind of like a little bit at a time. And so I can always appreciate the frustration for those who keep paying for plans, that they don't feel this kind of like, wow, now we've got, I don't know, MIDI to I don't know, something or whatever. You almost feel like you have an embarrassment of riches from some of the other brands. Like when, for example, when the latest version of Logic came out, it came out with a fantastic implementation of Atmos and spatial audio built in, and lots of other things. And as you say, you always feel like when it comes to Pro Tools, it's, as I say, it feels like a remix more than a new album. And I suppose, and they're trying to put one out a quarter. There's various reasons for that, and one of them obviously is that they're a listed company, and they have to do reporting every quarter and things like that. So it's important that they deliver on quarterly targets. And so, I don't know. I don't think there's anything bad about the release. And perhaps as a user with Carbon, you might find some of those new features, Julian. The integrated mic preamp control is good and things like that. But as I say, it's for me, it's always difficult to get excited because it feels like, hey, as I say, I've already tried to phrase it as the alternative between a new album and a remix. That's how I feel. And as I say, I don't know, for those of you that are paying for these upgrades every quarter or what you're paying on your plans, whether you feel you get value for money. And I suppose what you need to do is look out over a 12-month period and say, where were we a year ago and where are we now? And so I think that would probably be a fairer way of judging the development.
I agree, because I'm thinking that on this upgrade, okay, but if we go back to 2021.6, we had the hybrid engine, and that was an album. So, you know, it's
yeah that was a number one album, yeah, wasn't okay. it? Moment.
Okay, so
I would just say this: definitely rooting is big for Post. It's great, but I would give it all away for some ARA2 support, which we're still waiting for.
Yeah, things like that.
You know, like, so if you're asking me hit or miss.
I'll ask you hit or miss.
All right. Thanks for asking. I say hiss.
Hiss.
It's somewhere.
It's hard because I was trying to think of a word. I don't think it's a miss, but I don't think it's a hit either. This is the problem.
So yours will have to be a mitt in that case.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's perhaps it's a pass. Perhaps it's a in true style of press, no comment. But there is a comment. I'm not saying they haven't. I'm not saying any of these things in this update aren't hard to do. This is not. But you just, as a value proposition, when you're paying your prices, your plan, does this feel like value for money?
Yeah.
I think I want to reiterate that you have to judge that over 12 months. You can't do it on one release.
You say that, but other software companies recently release, to me, a major update is, you know, like a new version as opposed to a dot update, should contain multiple new features, possibly an upgrade to a graphic user interface, you know, some underhood improvements, you know, optimizations in terms of how quickly you're able to achieve tasks. A dot update that contains, you know, new features is actually pretty good. Like, that's why I say hiss. It's not a major update.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dot update. That's why I'm somewhere in the middle. Thank you. I'll take it. But I'm not excited about it.
Yeah, I can understand where people get disappointed, but also at the same time, I don't think we should say it's a bad release.
No.
There's no such thing as a bad release if things have been improved. So yes. It's a hiss for me as well.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to jump in on this one and say, I think it depends who you are, because there's the thing that I thought, and I said in the kind of conclusion paragraph to the post we put out last night, is that there was something for different users there. If you're a music user, then, you know, if you're into, say, the complete stuff, that's nice. If it affects you, if it doesn't, it's irrelevant. For post users, you've got the fan out stuff and the flexible routing. That's makes things easier. If you're a Carbon user, there's something there for you, definitely. But the ones we haven't mentioned is HDX users, who now, because of this universal binary, can use M1 Max running Pro Tools through Rosetta, because they can now bring their hardware with them because a driver exists. And that was something that you know needed sorting, and it's sorted, and you can see things are pieces are being maneuvered into the right order, so that eventually we can access all this power from these new Macs. So yeah. But I don't know if I'm doing the hit or miss bit anyway. We haven't quite figured out the format on this, have we? Do I get a say?
You get a say.
It's from me then. Okay, right, there we go. Okay, we should move on to the next one, though. So in that case, Logic Pro 10.7. We referred to it earlier. I think we can touch on this, can't we?
Yeah, very quickly. I think for Apple I think it's a major release. It gives... And it is one of those moments when, again, I have to be careful, because you can often feel like on these situations you're just banging Avid all the time with a stick. And I'm not trying to say that. But if you look at what Apple managed to achieve with Atmos, it's integrated, no renderer, none of that, into their DAW, free of charge, remember, as well. This is a free update for their users. I think it's brilliant, and it gives people a lot of... People can tinker around with, have a go at Dolby Atmos and spatial audio without having to invest a lot of money, because there's loads of free plugins, like a reverb in there. It's okay. Obviously, they're never going to kind of win any awards there, plugins, but they're still very good plugins. But for as a release, it's just great, as I say. Mm. I think so. Damien, did you check it out?
Yeah, I've checked it out a little bit. Like you say, having that sort of integration. I don't even know if Pro Tools has that level of integration, you know, but, you know, it's definitely a plus, and it's a major release for that platform. Again, one of the things, I'll go back to Logic. The reason I've shied away from using it is the video support has never been there. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but am I still only using one video in Logic? I think I am. If they can manage Dolby Atmos, how come they can't manage multiple videos at this point? That's the one thing I'm going to say about them. But is this a hit or a miss? Yeah, it's good.
Hit from me.
It's a hit from me as well, because I think it's enabling an awful lot of people to access Atmos. And especially with the binaural thing, it's not something you should do if you're doing, you know, commercial products. But if you're tinkering, you don't have to buy a ton of speakers. So you can dip a toe in that water with your free upgrade and a pair of headphones. And that's going to turn a lot of people onto Atmos workflow. So on that basis, hit. Let's move on. Okay, so Universal Audio released the Vault interfaces. A bit of a change in direction for them. We'll go to Russ first. Russ, what do you think?
I think they're cool. I think they've done what they normally do, and they've ploughed their own furrow in terms of looks. It's nice to see an audio interface that isn't black or grey or all the usual dullness. They've gone for the kind of retro look on the interface, and it's quite nice. I'm not sure if those ends are real wood or faux wood, but it's who cares? It still looks really nice. There's a couple of bits of design I find slightly odd, like on the 176 and 276. I find the volume knob on the front for, I think it's for the headphones, really ugly. It just seems out of place. It's almost like they, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like the rest of the design on the product. And they're obviously gunning for some of the lower end market, which is owned generally by people like Focusrite or PreSonus. So it's like $100 thing. But there was something that I saw somebody say, get into the UA ecosystem with a Vault interface. Well, you can't. It's not that. It's as you say, Julian, it's a total departure, which means that you can't use their plugin stuff and their DSP and things like that. There's their version of a 76 built in, And their version, I think, of also of a vintage Mic Pre as well built in. So it's cool. It's typically UAD. I think they've done a good job of making their own mark on that very aggressive market. It's as I say, $100, $200 plug interfaces. It's a pretty crowded market already, and they've tried to give some USPs, which in the marketing world are unique selling propositions. And they might do it, but it's as I say, it's a total departure from what they've been doing in the past. And I think that's got something also to do with, well, all sorts of things. There's chip shortages around the world, so Shark chips and all that kind of thing. They've probably been hammered by that. And so, as I say, if you buy one, you kind of go down a cul-de-sac, don't you? Because you buy it and you can't then go into the ecosystem.
No.
I don't think it's not targeted at
at those people who want in on that ecosystem. But for what it does and what it looks like, it's a glorious little box.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah. If I was a podcaster, I'd want one. You know, if I was doing podcasts out of my home and I wasn't a professional audio engineer, this would be a glorious little thing that looks fantastic and sounds amazing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounded like you were concluding there. Is that your...
My conclusion, okay. Actually.
That's fair enough. I think it covers it. I agree with the change in direction thing, how it relates to the ecosystem and the DSP and the plugins and stuff. I think it's quite an understandable move, because if we're seeing... What I thought of when I saw them was it's what SSL have done as well, of getting into that kind of small USB market. And clearly it's because it's a market that's shifting a lot of products, and, you know, there's a lot of people in it, and you've got to do it very well because people are doing it extremely well. But, you know, it's nice to get some premium brands coming to that market, and, you know.
And more than that, if you get the child, you get the man. That's an expression.
That's probably what I mean.
If you're putting Universal Audio in front of people who've never heard of it, let's say a podcaster, then over the years they may stay. They might create some brand loyalty there. That's perfectly possible.
Too much of a stretch for an Apollo for someone who's
Yeah,
I would just want to say that if you look at where Focusrite was at, in 2020. You couldn't even find one of their little interfaces on the market. You know, on Amazon, they were going for double, triple the price.
Oh, really? Wow. The Scarlett's in short supply on them.
Yeah, because they were the entry level, the good quality entry level. And all of a sudden, you've got all these people who are professionals being forced to somehow join, say, Source Connect Now or some other way to remotely record from home, wanting a decent sounding preamp. And Focusrite did it. And what I think, and the product line was already out there, and they were virtually untouched by the competitors for years. This is what this is today with the Universal Audio thing. It's an answer to Focusrite's long reign in that lower echelon of the market.
But I will say is that the inertia there is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough sell, even though they are great products, and I don't think they're going to have a problem with them. But Focusrite have a pretty big hold on
they
it.
They do own it, that market, yeah. Don't they? Yeah,
they do
yeah.
own that market. And this isn't months. This is years to try and turn this tank around if they're trying to do that.
No, like I just want to give you, for instance, like I do a show called Hometown Hockey here, and both hosts are pretty big people. And I've been for years trying to get them to do some kind of rig from home so we could remote in like this and just record them locally rather than them having to travel. And all of a sudden, when the lockdown hit, I was asked by Roger Sportsnet to come up with a package, and the Focusrite interfaces were at the center, the heart of the package for these Mac users at home. All of a sudden, we go and try and buy them, and they're the last one on the shelf, or they've been back ordered and we had to wait. You know, that's a good sign for a company like that. They've locked that market. And they've also locked other markets as well, like all the Dante stuff they did years before anybody else, which I actually asked or mused about Universal Audio getting into that realm a long time ago. They would have cleaned up. I think what this signifies to me is that UA is finally starting to understand that it's not just about music users out there. That's why I give this a hit for sure.
Yeah, gets a hit from me as well.
Yeah,
agreed. So that's we're very hitty at the moment. Okay, yeah. Let's move on.
I'm sure you can find something for us to miss.
Yeah,
we got a hiss. We had a hiss as well.
Yeah.
But I wish it gets a hit from me on the proviso that they do something about that horrible headphone knob on the front of the 76.
Okay,
version.
I mean, if we're moaning, I'm not sure about that flat top, because I'm just kind of thinking something with more of a kind of like a wedge kind of like lean to on the front panel would feels better to me. There was a DigiGrid interface that I tried years ago that had that same form factor, and I always found it like I was reaching over it to reach the knobs on top with that flat top.
The Production Expert Podcast is made possible using Source Connect Now from Source Elements, the free way to record high-quality audio over the internet. Need to record an interview or a podcast like this one remotely? With Source Connect Now, you can. Using a Chrome browser, you'll get ISDN-equivalent quality audio without the need to install any additional software. Register for your free account at now.source-elements.com.
Anyway, so RX9. Damien, we should go to you, really.
What I would say, just rewinding on what you were just saying, it would be really cool if they made a retro kit where you could take those wooden sides off and put a pair on that had angles on them so you could angle it on a desk.
That's a great idea.
I know. I might go and make them after the show and sell them on eBay.
You're gonna run off and try to patent a triangle. So RX9, what do we think? Damien, we should go to you first, really. This is definitely your world.
It is my world, and believe me, I have been playing around with it a lot. When it came out, I said to myself, what's in it for me? And I wasn't sure there really was anything, to be honest. I was prepared to give it a miss right from the start, but I have it, and I've been using it on the series work that I've been doing. I have to say, it's not packed with a whole lot of new features, but what they've done to the dehum module is astounding. Mm-hmm. The advances in the ambience match are nice, but really the focus for me is the incredible new sounding dialogue isolate algorithm that they've used. I do a lot of A-Bing, and I can't get the prior algorithms to sound anywhere near as good as what I can do with the main ones. So just that one thing alone makes it a hit for me. It's not a feature-packed update, as I've said. There are a lot of people going to moan that it doesn't have a whole lot of new stuff to offer, but the improvements are pretty much night and day. So if you're a post user, and specifically like me, mixing and editing at the same time, the improvements are pretty earth-shattering.
Cool. Russ?
It's another Pro Tools thing for me that when you get to RX9, you've mainly kind of done the kind of wow factors in 1, 2, and 3. And then after that, it's iterative again. And you get to the situation where you're making improvements rather than adding more features. And so I don't think it's a bad release, but Mike had some concerns about, I think it was the ambience match. He said that he had serious concerns about whether it was ready for showtime.
Yeah.
I don't know if Damien's played with it yet.
I have. His own view. The new sort of complex one definitely needs some tweaking. I will say that. I will definitely say that. But I have been able to get it to work.
Okay.
So Mike said it should have been an 8.5 release, and again, so I'm hissing on this one again.
I will say that I was right with Mike. In fact, Mike and I had that conversation before he wrote that. He may well have been quoting me, even if he didn't realize it, because I actually said something to that effect. Then I used it, and I've used it 1,000 times in the last week or so. Right, because I mean,
you get a lot of bad audio in, don't you?
I'm post mixer. I just fix, between guitar denoise, dehum, and dialogue isolate, the level of control that I have over the audio I'm given is cutting edge. Mm. So it is not feature packed. I wish they'd updated the UI so it looks like a new release instead of the same release with a 9 attached on it. I think they may end up doing more iterative updates this time around. I think that's why they pushed this one to market, you know, is anticipating that they're not really known for iterative updates, but
iterative. We shouldn't have even started using that word. We're all falling over it.
Yeah, I know. There you
go. They need an iteration fixer, don't they?
They're not known for iterative updates, but I think that that's going to change for them. I think,
yeah, especially as they're going to this new model of, it seems that there's a lot of discussion and we're trying to get to the bottom of it between whether they're going to even offer perpetual, but they are going into plans and a bit like Adobe Cloud and all the other things. And we talked about Pro Tools earlier. The more we get down this software as services route, the more you see these kind of evolutions rather than revolutions in product changes.
Well, it doesn't actually, what these plans really show us is it doesn't inspire them to make major releases all at once. It's sort of time release.
It's totally different. Yeah. But I tell you what I liked about Cloud, actually, and I wish Adobe Cloud, although I don't use it anymore, when I was using it, was the releases just came. There wasn't some kind of fanfare.
Yeah.
You just wake up one morning and find out something had been fixed or something was improved and better. And I kind of prefer that in a way almost than this kind of like, doesn't help sites like ours that like to print that kind of, wow, here's number 9 or here's number 10 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, but I think there's more and more of that kind of like evolutionary kind of product going to come along.
Well, I did talk to Justin Webster of the Cargo Cult the other day, and I think he sort of echoes the sentiment of some of the more boutique vendors in saying like they don't really need that model, you know, like it's hard enough to get their product where they want it to be. Then, you know, they don't do a lot of dot updates just to service things. It would actually cost some of the smaller vendors money, but these larger companies are shifting it in major response to their accountants. You know, we want to see quarterly earnings, not annual or earnings, of earnings.
This is what this is all about. There's a whole conversation.
But is this really, does this benefit the user if we have to pay monthly for something?
Don't get me started.
You know, so.
Well, all this VC money that's coming into our industry now does change the model. And the problem is with the model is that you've kind of got two masters then. You've got shareholders and you've got customers. And in the words of Jesus, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. No. So who do you keep happy?
Well, I think
that's the problem with this model.
Modern business culture is all about keeping the accountants happy.
Exactly. Whereas, it does worry me, this whole model.
I think it can lead to a collapse. And here's the thing. RX9 isn't feature packed. What it delivers is great, but you can't build a whole lot of advertising off of iterative changes, right?
Well, I think you're in danger of losing the goodwill of your customers.
Yes. We want revolution, not slow, laconic kind of evolution, you know? Yeah. We don't want that. I want to be hit over the head when I buy a product with how much better it is than the last version. Not, oh, wow, this is going to get better over the next 12 months. Gee, golly. You know? Maybe it is a hiss more than a hit, but I'll still give it a hit because what it's doing for my work.
So let's get to the last one. This only dropped yesterday, I believe, but AutoLine Post 2, SoundRadix. Russ, I mean, you know all about this. What do you think?
Well, I have to declare an interest here because they're clients of mine. So I'd write the press release and stuff and that. But if you haven't ever used AutoLine Post it's won an Emmy because it helps dialogue editors take a job that could have taken them a day or two to do in several minutes now, which is to align For those that don't know what Auto Align Post does, is that in when they record on set, if you've got a lav mic and a boom mic, they're moving out of phase with each other constantly as the actor moves. They're never in the same phase positions. You can't just set the phase and think it's right, because a couple of seconds down the line, it's wrong again. So the ingenious guys at Sound Radix came up with this product, which fixes it all the way along the timeline. It's active. It's changing all the time. Then they got some feedback from some engineers. I think it was Marty Humphrey at the Dub Stage in Hollywood that said, hang on, there's something odd going on here. Then they found out that if the guy on set had switched in the filter on one of the mic channels, then you'd have some other phase problems with rotating phase. Now, this is all getting very scientific. Yeah. And then they had to figure out how to fix the phase rotation problem as well. They've also added ARA implementation, things like Studio One and Cubase and Nuendo. So it's a really good upgrade. It's based upon the feedback of all the top people using it. I think, Damien, you use it, and I think you can speak to it as well.
I love it. I absolutely love Auto Align Post. This latest series I've been doing for Discovery Plus, I've used it quite a fair bit. For instance, there was a scene where two people are in bed together, you know, and their mics are, you know, moving back and forth as they roll around, right? You know, it's just... And the boom being static, you want all three mics to align with that, you know, because you don't want to hear that comb filtery thing that sounds funny like somebody's, you know, off mic. I fix that stuff regularly with Auto Align Post. It's been a huge revolutionary tool for me. So will I be buying this upgrade? Yes, I'm going to buy this update after we finish this conversation.
Well, they can't say, but that is a hit then, isn't it?
It's a total hit coming out of the gate, because if they've improved it in any way, which they have with the spectral shaping and all that sort of thing, I want in. I want in right now, because it's a tool that I can use tomorrow or today.
Absolutely.
So hit.
Okay.
Hit.
So predictably enough. So hit, abstention. It's hit from me. I don't use it, but I had a very interesting conversation with Nir and the guys. I mean, it was quite a long time ago when this was being planned, and the issue that it was designed to fix was explained to me. And it's obvious when you think about it. You've got two mics moving relative to each other. That's a time problem, and you can fix that with delay. But if you put in a high pass filter as well as changing the frequency response, it also affects the phase. And that can't be fixed in the same way. So rolling that in as well. So if there's a filter on one and not on the other, you don't get a funny cancellation thing happening at the bottom end when you combine those two things together. So yeah, fantastic.
I would just add, just for the person out there who's maybe listening and not really familiar with the product, it can be more than two mics that it fixes. You set the mic channel that you want the other selections to reference. You could have five mics in a room and you say, all of you reference channel one, and it will snap them all in phase with channel one. Right? That's the beauty of the system. It's really great.
I can't even begin to imagine how it works, but don't have to, because just basically just instantiate it and go do that, and it seems to work from what I've heard. So fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, that'll be a hit from me as well, because I've loved the idea and it's finally here. So fantastic. That's everything we have on our list. So I think in place of a normal find of the week, this has been one long find of the week so far. So we'll move to find of the week.
RSPE Audio Solutions. Design, sell, and install professional audio and video equipment. Their team are available by phone, live chat, or email to receive and process orders. They have everything you need to build or upgrade your home studio to ensure you can continue to work from home. If there is anything they can do to help, reach out or shop online at rspeaudio.com.
And we'll just say, of the ones that we've discussed, which is our find of the podcast. So should we go to Damien first, choosing one of those? Which is your find of the podcast?
Ooh, that's a tough call for me. You know, definitely I would say RX9, just because I've used it. Honorable mention to Auto Align, because I'm about to buy it. You know,
okay.
But yes, definitely RX9 for me because it's my ecosystem.
Sure. Okay. Fantastic. Russ, what about you?
I think you know what I'm going to say. It's a no shit Sherlock moment. It's the M1 Max.
Of course it is.
I think that something that brings that much power. And I've had an M1 already. I've already got the M1. This is taking it to the next level now because we get them to test. And the M1 was a massive improvement. I've never heard the fan on it, even though it's supposed to have a fan. It runs at 40 degrees most of the time compared to 98 degrees on my Intel machine. It's powerful. It's incredible. So yeah, that, and with an honorable mention, I think also to Auto Align Post as well.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to do one that, so I mean, this is slightly cheating just because I'm going to go with Pro Tools 2021.10, but not because of Pro Tools 2021.10, but because of the associated Yukon release. So the 2021.10 Yukon release brought with it finally use of the X key on previously unused on the Avid S1, which is an insert bypass, which was something that we really needed. And yeah, it's there now. So you can now bypass as well as everything else from your S1, which it doesn't sound like a great deal, but it again is what I was saying with that stuff of how significant this release is very much depends on who you are. And I have an S1 next to me and it's just got a new button that does something I want. So on that basis, that's my find of this podcast.
Excellent.
Okay, so that's all we've got time for this week. So thanks very much to Russ and Damien. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Production Expert Podcast.